Hey there, we're live at the Nasdaq MarketSite on this sunny fall Friday. The guys here getting ready behind me. While they're doing that, here's what's coming up on the show.
The world's biggest oil producers meet next week on whether or not to cut oil production. And the news could send energy stocks tumbling. We'll explain. Plus, how would you like to get long Facebook for free? Maybe just a little. But it is possible, and we'll tell you how to do it. And Nike shares have been terrible this year. And we'll tell you why some traders think it's about to get a lot worse next week. The action begins now.
All right, let's get right to it, because while everyone was focused on Apple and Twitter, another tech titan quietly took it on the chin. Check out shares of Facebook falling about 2% on concerns the social giant may have inflated a key metric on video views. So is this your best chance of getting this name? Let's get in the money and find out. Dan, what do you say?
Well, listen, I thought the stock's reaction today was pretty, you know, okay.
Robust.
Yeah, it was very muted, right?
It wasn't particularly bad. And I think that, you know, to use the term maybe inflated, maybe, you know, inflating the situation there a little bit too. But, you know, to have a metric off like that that's so important to this big shift in advertising for as long as they did, that's a little troubling. It may make you think, okay, what is all this growth built on? Obviously, the revenue growth is what it is. It's been 50, 60, 70% for the last 3 years. They're expected to do $27 billion in sales. It took Google 8 years to get to $27 billion in sales. They're doing it in the last 3 years. So there's something going on there, and there's probably some legs. That's
exactly the point, right? So the elephant in the room when it comes to mobile advertising is Facebook, pure and simple. Right. And the funny thing is, so they're going to sit here and they're going to report the metrics. They're basically measuring themselves, and they're going to report them back. But basically, at the end of the day, they can say, it is what it is, folks. And that's exactly what they are doing. And that's why the stock didn't react. I mean, the market's
down. Because they effectively have a monopoly, and so they can charge what they want.
Yes, essentially. Okay. I mean, who's going to take their place? There isn't anybody. I mean, they're it. That's 1.7 billion people watching on their mobile advertisements. Nobody else can
come close.
So
it's not like people go, all right, we'll go to Google instead, because we are more confident of Google's metrics.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, you know, it's not an easy substitute. It's not one for the other. You know, I mean, it's a little... You know, maybe you also buy meat and you also buy potatoes, but if you've got, you know, the only one who's got potatoes, you basically are going to dictate what the price of the
meat. Where do you fall in this meat and potatoes discussion, Carter?
I don't know about that, but...
Of mobile advertising, anyway.
they're good together, meat and potatoes. But I've got some charts here and we'll go look up. But I think the key thing is, if there's wisdom in price, and there is, the price action today, based on those headlines, could have been a lot worse. And... it wasn't that bad. So let's look at a few.
But here's the thing. I mean, we just can't, like, listen, here's a company that people keep quoting its growth, and it's been spectacular, and it is the only game in town.
Isn't there
and
a question about that
There has to be.
This
is a company that overtook Exxon in market cap in the last couple months here. And, you know, the only thing I just want to say is people say, well, they're growing earnings at 50% a year, and it's only trading at like 32 times. Well, that's on an adjusted basis. On a GAAP basis, that $4 in earnings expected this year is $3. And when you talk about inflated metrics, well, there you go. And at some point, they're going to jam one too many video ads in front of one too many people.
There have been lots of tech companies where EPS hasn't mattered. Only EBITDA has mattered. And on that metric, I mean, that's free. It's a measure of free cash flow. And it's trading probably 17 times, and it's still growing the top line.
Back in 2012, Apple Computer, very different company, okay? They booked $170 billion in sales, a hardware company, okay? And that grew 50% that year. That stock went down 45% over the next 7 months.
You said the magic word.
That can happen.
Hardware company.
Carter, settle with the charts here.
Well, let's go look at them. But I think you have to say this. I wouldn't fight this. They say if you could draw a straight line, you'll probably be okay in this business, and you can draw some pretty straight lines. How would you characterize that? I'd say that's sort of bottom left, top right. It's not exactly doing something crazy like that. It hasn't gone bonkers. So take a look. Now, I didn't make those fit. That's the best part, right? I mean, those lines are parallel, and they are simply connecting the top and the bottom of the range. And what we do know is that obviously overbought and oversold conditions typically yield a mean reversion. But you're just sort of walking along the line here. And again, today's price action, that's all it did. A little bit of a dip, a drop, back to something of support. The pen's not working tonight, which is okay. It doesn't often work. Now it does. I think you're going to be fine. I like Facebook long.
All right, so Mike, how are you trading?
You know, I think this one's pretty easy, and the trades can sound a little bit complicated, but I'm looking at the December 135, 45, 115 call spread risk reversal. What you're going to be doing for about even money is buying the December 135, 45 call spread and selling the 115 puts against it to finance it. And like I said, earlier today, that was trading for about even. Think about this. You're going to start making money the minute that Facebook goes above 135, but it has to break below 115 for you to start losing. That's, you know, 13% discount to the current stock price. Those are the kinds of risk-reward relationships we like. I make money if it goes up 10%. I lose nothing if it drops 10%. To me, if you're going to make a bullish bet in Facebook between now and the end of the year, that's the way to play it.
You like this trade?
Well, I think if you're going to be long, I think the idea of a call spread defining your risk makes a lot of sense. You know, I don't love the idea of selling a December put. We know that the Fed is going to meet in mid-December, and that is really the next catalyst for the broad market in a way. And I know that this company has traded independent of the market for a couple of years now, but it is the shiniest thing out there, okay? And it is in a space where, you know, it's just, you know, the analysts all love it, the investors all love it. Think about the news this year. You know, they've had issues with the IRS. They've had issues with censorship. They've had like a ton of issues.
And it has shaken them all off.
I understand.
And by the way,
but at some point,
when
it's
people
not
start
going
panicking
to.
About the Fed, you know, what do they start running to? They run to the shiny
right.
things. They're running
right.
to the growth stock.
Right.
They're
then it
running
could take
to
all
Facebook.
Those hits. Also, there's this. The economic data supports stocks like this, meaning when the business cycle rolls, when data weakens, you don't want to be in beta, and money flow knows that. You want to be in idiosyncratic growth, which is what this is.
Let me ask Mike about the put then. So what was your intention? Because Dan makes a good point in terms of the Fed in December.
Well, I mean, the whole exercise here is, and I think this is an important point, when you are short more options than you're long, as we are here, those are going to tend to decay more rapidly than the one option we're long. So what's interesting is that if the stock stays right here to Thanksgiving, this trade's probably going to be up money because those two wing options will have decayed more. So this is actually, you know, you could win if it rises. You may not lose if it drops within 10%. And if it stays right here, you could also win. So there's basically three things that can happen. Two are good. Those are the kinds of odds I like.
Yeah, my point is like it's not you're defining your risk to a certain point by selling that put, okay, but it's not just being long the straight out premium. And you know, I mean, have a ball. I think 2017 is going to be a Facebook
have
issue.
Have a ball. Don't
it's
be gonna,
no, I mean, I think it's
going to be in trouble.
It's, well, at Facebook's some point, it's going to be in trouble. Every
right.
single one of these names that's done with this. Think about Amazon before it just doubled. It had years where it had massive shifts, 30% down shifts
right.
and stuff like that.
Let's move on here. Yeah. Shares of Finish Line falling more than 5% today. Despite reporting a better-than-expected earnings report, the stock taking a turn after the company's CFO said September sales were weak. This could have implications on rival Nike, which reports earnings next week. The two have moved in tandem over the last few months. Nike is the worst-performing Dow stock in 2016. So should investors be worried? Mike, what do you say?
Well, look. Should investors be worried? Last week, I admitted I was worried last week, you know, coming into the possibility that there might be a Fed increase. And
right.
now it doesn't seem like there was any reason to be worried. How do you worry about a market that doesn't seem to be willing to sell off in the face
she means
of
about
high
Nike,
valuations?
Mike, Nike.
I'm just talking about everything in general. No, I mean, yeah, look. It's hard for me to want to get short things when the market doesn't seem to want to
well,
drop.
Let's talk about this. If I've learned anything from Carter Braxtonworth on this desk over the last few years is that relative performance is really important. Here's a stock that's acted absolutely atrocious as the S&P is within a couple percent from its all-time highs. It's down 11% on the year. It's down 18% from the mm-hmm. all-time highs it made last December. It reports, like you said, Tuesday after the close. The implied move is about 4.25% on average over the last 10 years. The day after earnings, it's moved about 4.7%. That's a massive move for this stock. Now, trades at a premium to the market and many of its peers, not Under Armour. And to me, I think if you take into context the Finish Line news, the relative underperformance, we have a chart of Nike over the last 5 years. It's sitting on, and I hate to step on your toes,
oh,
I think, man, but it's
joining my feet.
It's sitting on near-term support, and then if you take the five-year, look at that one. And if they were only to come in line and maybe guide down for the full fiscal year, this stock is going to 50, and I think that's how you can set up and play this in the near term. And I just want to look out to a put spread in October expiration. I want to keep it really simple. When the stock was trading 55.5 today, you could buy the October 55.50 put spread, paying $1.25. That is your max risk. It breaks even at 53.75. You can make up to 375 down to $50. You know, that's three times your potential losses of that 125, which is only about 2% of the stock price. So to me, I think if you want to take in the fundamental input, the technical right. input, option prices are not particularly expensive.
I like
here.
The trade structure. I mean, they're shaking off their golf business. They are trading at a discount to the group now. And, you know, you do have an earnings report that could come out, and maybe they're going to say
group,
that we're finally sorting out the
down bumps. 20% in the last month. Under Armour can't get out of its own way.
There's
I mean,
also
the
two things that are
horrible.
Sort of specific. As opposed to any idiosyncratic growth, there's no growth here. I mean, that's really the truth. And two, it didn't react well to the Foot Locker news. Foot Locker had a very good and unexpected quarter. And two, Adidas somehow, which has been left for dead, has been coming back. Either way, the lines are good.
Yeah, thank you.
It looks like it's going to break the lines. And the relative strength to the market is terrible. It's hovering, hanging. The presumption is it breaks.
Options aren't that cheap, so the put spread's the way to play it.
Wow. Two thumbs up for you, Dan.
Let's see. Well, next week.
Got a question out there. Send us a tweet to @OptionsAction and do it before someone buys them. For everything Options Action, only one place to go, optionsaction.cnbc.com. While you're there, do check out our super cool newsletter. What are you waiting for? Here's what's coming up next.
Reports that OPEC won't reach a deal on oil production next week sent crude plunging 4% today. And the charts show even more pain to come. We'll explain. Plus, utility stocks are surging. But if you missed the rally, fear not, because we've got a way for you to get in. We'll give you the trade when Options Action returns.
Welcome back to Options Action. Oil plunging today and a report that there will be no announced production cuts when OPEC meets next week. Jackie DeAngelis is at the NYSC with the story. Jackie.
Good evening, and thanks, Melissa. Well, crude oil taking a dive in today's session, down roughly 4%. After those reports that you mentioned, that the Saudis said that there'll be no deal resulting from next week's informal meeting in Algeria. Now, analysts, traders, energy funds that I spoke to are not that surprised by the news, as this isn't really an official meeting. But crude prices have seen support from the what-if factor surrounding next week's conversation. More signs in the last few weeks that the cartel is very fragmented, but the Saudis usually have the most influence. And if they want to freeze or they don't want to freeze, it really is likely that OPEC will go with them. More commentary about prices dipping back into the 30s if there is no action, as well as supply, will continue to outstrip demand. And the rebalance that the street has called for in the back half of the year will be much slower than anticipated. These meetings can usually create market volatility. This one is 3 days long with a decision, if any, expected on Wednesday. So that's what to watch for. Melissa, back to
you. All right. Jackie DeAngelis, thank you. So Chartmaster, there could be more pain ahead for oil.
Well, oil and energy stocks. I mean, basically, there have been people trying to play this for a long time. I think it's a value trap. It's trapped a lot of people. Yes, if you caught the absolute low in February, but let's look at the charts. It's sort of a hot mess all over the place. How would you draw the lines? I would say maybe this is a pretty good way to draw them. A series of lower highs, higher lows. You're working into an apex, a decision point. So I guess, right, this would be OPEC cuts, and this would probably be OPEC doesn't cut. But if there's wisdom in price, energy shares typically lead the commodity. And here is the S&P 500 energy sector, and it is already starting to break down out of that formation. So crude in the formation, you could say it's 50-50, but if there's any wisdom in the price of, So the presumption is that this is the message for crude, and ultimately I think energy stocks go lower. All right, a few more charts. Important, relative performance. It's one of the biggest and most efficacious factors in all quant models. The sector has managed to basically ascend. Its relative performance to the S&P has been poor. That's a tell. Okay, another tell. The leading edge. This is the whole sector, but the leading edge of energy is drillers. Baker Hughes, Weatherford, Halliburton, Schlumberger. The drillers, look how they act poor compared to the sector overall. That's where the future is. That's where people make 18-month decisions or two-year decisions, drilling wells. That's another tell. So here's the XLE. This is the thing you can trade. I think it's starting to go break the line. I'm going to make the bet that we're going lower, lower, lower. I want to sell energy, and I want to do XLE as the vehicle.
All right, so Chartmaster says three lowers. Yeah. And the volatility really, I mean, you saw it today. There was that one headline that Jackie was talking about. We saw that intraday turn in WTI as well as Brent. We saw the intraday turn in energy stocks. It's almost like getting headlines from Fed members raising rates.
Yeah, I mean, the energy stocks really have more, actually, headwinds, really, than just the supply-demand imbalance. I mean, take a look at Exxon, which is the biggest constituent stock of XLE, and now you've got state attorneys general going after them for issues related to whether or not they were hiding issues related to climate change. Then you have them going after the value of their reserves. Then you have the SEC jumping in. Then you have the fact that they have massive negative cash flow trying to support a dividend, which could get cut. And if it does, people who are in the stocks for those dividends are likely to dump them as well. There's a lot of things that create a lot of headwinds here and not a lot of things that could potentially support them. The Saudis aren't going to suddenly cut off production. They need the money.
So you agree with the Chartmaster basically in terms of the direction. How are you trading it?
December 67.59 put spread. You can spend $2 for that. You can buy the 67 puts for $2.70. You can sell the 59s against it for 70 cents. Very similar to the trade that Dan was talking about. And Nike trying to take advantage of the fact that out-of-the-money puts in a lot of places, actually, the premiums are quite high in a lot of these spaces. We keep looking at the VIX. Things look complacent. Out-of-the-money puts, actually, in a lot of places are not so cheap. So we like to sell those. This is a very good way, I think, to make a bearish bet.
Yeah, and December makes sense. Obviously, you know, the dollar's been very range-bound here. We know that there's a Fed meeting. We know that the probability is 50-50 that they're going to hike. It's probably a bit higher than that. That could obviously weigh on oil stocks a little bit. The only thing that's interesting about the XLE, when Carter brings up his charts about crude and everything, that uptrend that it's kind of sitting on that could break is kind of interesting. When I look at the XLE also, though, I look at, since May, it's really been very range-bound. It's gone sideways here. It gets a lot of really good support at its 200-day moving average, which is about $64 or whatever. And the only thing that I might consider is buying that same put that Mike's doing, but not sell that way out of the 181, and maybe look to maybe own it outright, wait for the break, and then look to sell something after the fact, or maybe do a calendar or something, because I think the likelihood of the XLE being down near your short strike is very low. Can we agree on that?
No, that's actually a good point, because if there are headwinds and you're looking for an opportunity to spread, if there's little chance that something's going to go sharply higher and a decent chance that it could sit here or go lower, your opportunity to sell that put will probably present itself at some point between now and expiration.
When you take a look at the chart of the dollar, does it look capped to the upside?
Well, the dollar's pretty range bound too when we're talking about 18 months. Most currencies have. I'm biased to the long side on the dollar, which obviously wouldn't be good for crude in principle, but it could just be that the dollar is in a range and stays in a range, and that the crude and the energy potential move is idiosyncratic and specific to whether it's a cut or no cut, or whether the valuation and all the things that you said.
Yeah, I mean, part of the thesis on XLE, by the way, doesn't have to do, you don't require lower oil prices. We're talking about lower prices for energy stocks, and specifically for the biggest constituents of this particular group, which are the integrated.
You mentioned Exxon dividend cut. I mean, it never happened before, ever.
I mean, that would be chaotic. People are going to say, okay, this is what happens to us. I mean, I think that there are people who depend on that. This is one of the places that people have been able to get some yield, and those people are going to be pretty shaken up if that drops.
Still ahead, Home Depot shares down more than 6% in the last month, and traders are betting on even more heartache for the beaten down stock. We'll tell you just how bad it could get when options action returns. Welcome back to Options Action. Time for a little Total Recall, where we take a look back on some of our open trades. Now, just last week, Dan thought utilities were about to shine bright. Take a listen.
Today, when the XLU was trading at $49, you could look out to December expiration. You could buy the 49.54 call spread, paying $1.50 for that, buying one of the December 49 calls for $1.65, selling one of the December 54 calls at 15 cents. $1.50 is your max risk.
Dan gets a gold star. Utilities was the best sector on the week. So what are you doing with this trade?
I'm sticking with it. I did not think the Fed was going to raise rates. I don't think they're going to raise in November. I think it kind of gives you the all clear for those yield hunters there. I think, you know, if you get this thing back towards the prior highs at 53, you take it off, it'll be more than a double here. And the risk reward is really not great once this spread is worth most of the width.
I thought there was a chance that they would. What was I thinking? No clue.
Now to Home Depot. 2 weeks ago, Cohen Carter thought the stock was in trouble. Take a listen.
You could say that it's broken. Today it hit here. Not a good scenario. Either way, I want to sell Home Depot.
The November 130 puts, you can spend $4.40 for that.
Shares are down around 5% since then. So, Carter, what do you see in the charts now?
Yeah, just the break of that trend is just that, a break, and presumptively it goes lower. So stick with it.
Yeah, I mean, our effort was actually for a move more sharply lower than the one that we've already seen. So we definitely want to stick with it. We have a little bit of time to expiration.
All right. Up next, your tweets and the final call from the options pits. Coming up on Mad Money tonight, get your notebooks out. Cramer sharing his game plan for the big week ahead, plus more on the Twitter takeover talk and the stock's huge run today. So stay tuned. Mad Money, top of the hour. All right, so time to take some of your tweets, and let's start with this one. Do the traders like the fall or the spring? Carter, I go with you.
I think I like, well, let's see. I'm gonna go. I like them both. Truth be, if you're talking seasons, not options, you got to say those are the two best.
Okay.
Agreed wholeheartedly. This is going right into the Christmas season, which I absolutely love, and spring leads to summer, which I also love. Yep. So obviously a lot to look forward to. It's like Friday.
You guys,
that's so wicky. It's like,
game.
Do you like one better? Right. I like
can
fall.
I
done.
I'm a spring forward, not a fall
all
back.
Right. I like fall.
All right. There you go.
All right. Next up, this is a serious one. This one's from Chris. How do you all like to play weekly options, Mike?
Weekly options are very good for two things. For one thing, short dated options decay very rapidly. So generally speaking, if there's no catalyst, it's a great opportunity to collect premium. And if there is a catalyst and you don't want to lay out a great deal of premium and want to make a defined risk bet, that's the way you can do it.
Oh, I like to use them by selling them against longer dated ones. I like to use them in calendars because for the same reasons Michael just mentioned, they decay quickly.
All right, time now for the final call. Last word from the options pits, Carter.
It'll be short energy via XLE.
Mike?
December put spreads in XLE are the way to get short.
Damn.
That was boring. The Nike earnings next week, I think defined risk, bearish plays, October put spread.
I like fall because it's usually the start of the school year, and
yeah,
I always enjoy
school.
Looks like our time has expired. I'm Melissa Lee. Thanks for watching. For more Options Action, go to our website, optionsaction.cnbc.com, and, of course, our daily segment, Inside Fast. Meantime, don't go anywhere. Mad Money with Jim Cramer starts right now.